Thank you for tuning in to All Things Real Estate. Once again, here are your hosts, Brad Avergon and Gary Kelly.
Welcome back to the second half of All Things Real Estate. I'm Gary Kelly with Castanet Realty Group, and I'm joined by Brad Avergon of Fairway Independent Mortgage. We can be heard, by the way, on the internet at, you can follow us at movewithgary.com, we actually have a podcast now. It's the, you go out and you look for All Things Real Estate podcast, and we're on some of the bigger platforms like Apple, and it's basically the same content, but you know, if you're walking around and want to listen to us, if Brad and I can join you for your gym activities, you can do that now.
There you go.
So Brad, we were talking about living in your basement. The reason that's funny is Brad does his part of the show from the basement, and it's a nice basement. It's been redone, but he's definitely down in the bomb shelter. I'm up above the waterline, and it's a different set of challenges, lighting primarily. So Brad, we were talking about paying for your landlord's mortgage, and that you don't want to do that. What about if you want to do an improvement to your house? Do a she shed. Got to be careful how I say that. A man cave.
She shed, yeah.
Do any of that stuff.
Well, I think, you know, you're everybody likes to personalize where they live. And, it's challenging when you're renting a place, right? It's not yours. How much are you going to put into it? And what you put into it, is it permanent? Do you have to get permission from the landlord? Is there bylaws? Is there all sorts of things that prohibit you from actually making it your own? Versus if you own your own property, if it's a condo, you still have to obviously, go by the bylaws, but you can personalize it. You can paint walls whatever color you want. Sometimes you can do little build outs or change a bathroom or change fixtures. These are things you wouldn't do normally if you were renting a place. But if you own it, you can upgrade it. And every dollar, hopefully every dollar, or most dollars, I shouldn't say every, that you put in, hopefully you're going to get back, right? If you upgrade your kitchen and you do a nice job, when somebody comes in, if you do decide to sell it, you're going to get that money back. Versus if you do that to a landlord's home, that's the landlord. You can't take that with you if you upgrade the kitchen, right? So that's money you put in their pocket. So I think that's nice to be able to personalize it. It makes it makes it more comfortable for you to live in.
Yep, it really does. I think that, I see that a lot with people when they come in to rent an apartment. They say, can I paint the walls? Well, most of the time, the landlord doesn't want to have you painting the walls. Landlord doesn't want to have to repaint the wall when you leave is the issue. And you may not be Picasso. It may not be something that appeals to everyone. So that's always an issue. What do you think about real estate as an investment?
I mean, I think that basically real estate goes up over time. We kind of addressed this in the first half of the show. And I think you have an opportunity, right? At some point, many people want to own real estate. Hopefully our listeners, right? That's why they're listening to our show. They want to own real estate. And they have an opportunity. The sooner they get into that market, the more they can ride it up. Now, I'm not proposing that we're going to see like a 20% increase like we saw over the last couple of years when things were crazy, crazy. But if you look at your investments, think of real estate as just an investment. And if you can make a good 4 to 5% on an investment, that's considered a pretty decent return. Historically, when I'm looking at real estate and trying to analyze for folks what they're going to make over time, I'm using a rate of return of between 4 to 6%. And if you look at historically even more than that and actually go back to the real figures, I think the figure last year, Gary, was close to 7% in our area that we saw. So that's a great return on an investment. So if you put money in, just like whether you put it in a bond or a stock, and in this case, real estate, and you make 7%, that's a great return. And I think that's why you want to get in and get that return for a longer period of time.
And as they always say, past performance is not indicative of the future.
This is true.
You'll get sued here, Brad. All right. One of the big bugaboos with real estate right now is the interest rate. Yeah. The interest rates were, I'm going to say, artificially low. The broker in Castagnetti likes to say, you know, I've got 2.75 for my interest rate. I'm never going to move. Now she bought a new house, and so she probably isn't incented to move in the short term. But having said that, you know, people are like, they're so convinced that they shouldn't do anything with that rate so low. And my response is, I don't think we're ever going to see rates that low again.
No.
That was during a crisis. And the government artificially stimulated things to get people to do things. And they were, in my opinion, they were successful doing that. But I would also argue that the mortgage companies, without that kind of assistance, they weren't making money back at that time. And you can't have a bunch of companies that are in business and not making money and expect them to succeed over time. So I think that that's a big bugaboo. So I think the interest rates are going to stay higher. And right now, we're kissing 7%. What are your thoughts about that, Brad?
So it's a great point, Gary. It's probably one I get asked about most of all. Is this a good time to buy? Interest rates are high. What should I do? And my answer is, first of all, I'm glad you put it in perspective, which is, number one, when rates were at 2.75, 3%, that was an unreal situation based on an environmental climatic occurrence, okay? The Fed was worried, the government was worried about the entire economy shutting down. So they gave it a jolt. They put the paddles on the economy and they hit it. And they hit it by lowering interest rates and by buying mortgage-backed securities, which even drove the price lower, okay? So that needed to keep the economy going, and it worked. Conversely, we've gotten with rates, you know, rates have gone up. They're higher. Do we expect that rates may fall? Yes, they may fall over the next couple of years once we get this inflationary trend under control, which is what we're watching right now, what the Fed is watching right now. But the thing is, once that happens, I think, honestly, you're going to start to see the floodgates open. And for those folks that were around during when rates were low and people were bidding on properties, they were sometimes coming in and bidding $100,000 or $200,000 over asking price. Over asking price. Waiving important things like inspections, home inspections. Waiving mortgage contingency. Things that are dangerous to consumers. That is not a healthy economy, okay? Rates never should have been that low without that environmental stimulus going on. They should have been around 4.5% to 5.5%. That would have been a normal market. We're higher than that right now. But that creates an opportunity, because there's no prepayment penalty on any mortgages that I write for folks. So you can get into a property. You can either take a 30-year fixed with the expectation that, yes, it's, you know, we can afford it now, but when things get better, just like they did when rates came down from 9 to 8% to 7%, we refinance people. When things get better, they can refinance. Meanwhile, they can get into the property. That's the most important thing. Because honestly, I will tell you that if rates fall by 1%, even just one, let's say 1%, okay? I promise you, I can tell, the price that people will pay because of the amount of people that will flock into the market will far exceed any 1% savings that they might have made by waiting for that lower rate. So it's better to go in when rates are high and plan on refinancing. The other option is they can go for an adjustable rate mortgage. I have 7 years.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. If someone says to you, you know, I just can't deal with the payment that I've got.
Yeah.
Or that you're proposing. Yeah. How do you deal with that? Because I do think that there are products that will help with, I'm going to say, adjusting the payment. And I'm not, yes, adjustable rate mortgage is one strategy. But there are a number of things that a guy like you can do, number of levers you can pull to help right. with the payment.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, the thing about adjustable rate mortgages, I want to make that clear for listeners too, is adjustable rate mortgages, the way they work, in my opinion, effectively, is you keep that mortgage. It's a 30-year mortgage, but the interest rate is fixed, and the one I'm thinking of is fixed for a period of time. In my case, the one I'm thinking of is fixed for 7 years. Well, 7 years is a long time in the terms of a mortgage. So for all intents and purposes, that's That's a fixed rate if you end up refinancing out of that within 7 years, which is a great opportunity for rates to dip down again. So if you believe that interest rates are going to fall back down in the next 1, 2, or 3 years, why not take an adjustable rate mortgage and even buy yourself a little more time, whether it's a 5-year or a 7-year adjustable, just in case the economy doesn't move as fast as you like, it still leaves you that opportunity. And even if it doesn't happen until year 8, it's not a crisis, because that mortgage, nobody comes knocking at your door year 7 and says, oh, you got to pay us the balance of the mortgage. It's a 30-year mortgage. It just adjusts after, you know, 7 years or 5 years.
Yeah, when I first bought a house, I was at an 18% mortgage rate. That's just what it was back then, and we were stupid. We didn't know any better. And so that's what we paid. But every year, as it turned out at the time, the adjustment was to our favor. Every year our payment went down. But I can also tell you that part of the mortgage crisis was that people were adjusting and their payments were going up, and they were underwater and they were in trouble. So that's a dual-edged sword. But generally speaking, I think an adjustable rate mortgage has a spot. You've got to understand what the limits are on the adjustment, how much it goes up, how much it goes down, how long.
And I want to just touch on that very quickly. Adjustable rate mortgages have some protection in it. Usually at the end of the period where it's fixed, or in the case of a 7-year ARM. In the case of a 7-year ARM, it's fixed for the first 7 years. After 7 years, it can make a large adjustment. It can make one large adjustment, usually up to 5% over its note rate where it started. However, and that's just some protection for the lenders, because in case the economy takes off and rates are at 10% and they're held at this low rate, they have to be able to figure out what to do. But after that first adjustment, it only can make adjustments, and again, each adjustable rate mortgage is different, but usually it's 1% every 6 months or 2% a year. If you think about the average increase in income, there's usually a 2 to 3% cost of living increase on average that individuals get. So that usually exceeds the increase in the mortgage. But
so Brad, we're out of our time.
Oh my gosh.
We only went through 8 points.
We'll save the next 2 for the next time around.
All right. So Brad, how do they reach you quickly?
Best way to reach me is via my cell phone, Gary, which is 978-375-5531, or they can email me at brad@bradavergon.com. And Gary, how do they reach you?
Gary@movewithgary.com and 508-733-6005. Brad, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary.
Once again, thank you for watching All Things Real Estate. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Brad or Gary.